I'd like to get closer to you, as you all know by now. So this is going to be a pattern. You know, I am so thrilled to share God's word with you, but I'm as nervous as I am thrilled. It's the last thing I think of before I sleep yesterday, and then it's the first thing I think of when I get up. The minute my eyes, well, actually, even before my eyes open, it's in my head already because I'm awake. And then when my eyes open, I reach out for my phone because that's where the draft is. And then I start tweaking it. That's how it affects me. Okay, so let it be said. Now, I do enjoy sharing scripture with you because I know that scripture revives our soul and it adds gladness to our heart. So therefore, I want to share gifts from the scripture with you. Now today, using the Exodus passage, I will highlight a common disease, and should one of us should be currently suffering from that condition, don't worry, I brought the antidote. And that's the gift. Grumbling. We don't think too much of it, do we? And we often justify when we grumble. The Bible says, don't do it. We do it anyway. Now, grumbling is really a heart condition, and it leads to dangerous consequences, as we see. Well, we didn't see it in our Exodus passage, but we see in the Exodus story. So, for context, after centuries of cruel bondage to the Egyptians, under the Egyptians, God appointed Moses to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt into the promised land. The land is one that's flowing with milk and honey, not New Zealand. All right, it sounds like New Zealand to me, but it's not, it's Canaan. And Canaan will be a good place for the people to live and flourish as people under God. Now, to avoid battles with enemies so early in the journey, God brought the Israelites through the long way, the desert road, for they were not ready for battles yet. Now, the desert of sin was vast and hostile, the perfect place to mold the character and to refine the faith. And in our reading today, we find the Israelites in the second month after leaving Egypt on their journey to the promised land. They are now in the desert of sin. Upon arrival in this desolate desert, the people grumble against Moses. First, in the previous chapter, it was about the water. And today in the chapter that we read, it was about the lack of food and meat, to be precise. Now, the Israelites lived in a time that is impossible to deny the miracles of God. They've experienced the 10 plagues. They've watched the Red Sea parted. They walked through the water, through dry ground. And now, even as they complained, they are being guided by a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. So you would think that seeing God's hand upon our lives would fill us with such gratitude and thanksgiving that now, in times of need, the natural response to that is to pray and ask God. But no! The Israelites would grumble against God right after the wondrous redemption. 2 months, that's all it takes, or even sooner. Now the whole community of Israel, we read this, the whole community of Israelites began to grumble and complain to Moses and Aaron about the lack of food. They said, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. In their grumbling, the Israelites have scorned their deliverer. They're saying, you might as well have killed us in Egypt. Then they distorted the truth. We sat around pots of meats and ate all the food we wanted. They tested and they taunted the provider. You've brought us out into the desert to starve us to death. Now, in the desert, the Israelites revealed their faithlessness, and they blamed God. Out of the same mouth that not so long ago sang the praises of God, now muttered against him. In their grumbling, the Israelites thought the worst of God, and to justify their thoughts, they made him out to be so. In their grumbling, they sinned against God. I said it, sinned. Now, I saw this whole scene play out just very recently, and I'll share with you. It's a smaller scale at a dinner party. So my friend, a mother of two little girls, they brought some home-baked brownies to the party, lovely brownies. And the mother, knowing that dinner would take a while, maybe an hour into the party, so she did the wise thing. She fed the girls first before they came to the party. So they arrived, and shortly after, when we're just settling into the chit-chat, you know, the kids are taking out the toys to play. Now, this was the time they started to pester their mum. The older one started pestering, poking, you know, whisper, frown, and I saw the older child's face turned into the skull because the mum wouldn't have it. Then the younger one, in her immaturity, said it out loud, accusing the mum, saying, "I'm so hungry and you didn't feed me." And then I said to the little one, "But your mum did. She fed you before you came." And she said, distorting the truth, "But I'm still hungry. My stomach is larger than this room." I know what the mum is thinking. She wanted the earth to open up and swallow her kids. Okay, now the consequences of grumbling. Now, grumbling, whether directly or indirectly, we're implying that God is not sufficient, not sufficiently wise, not sufficiently loving or powerful or faithful or good, just not sufficient, because if God were, then things would be better and I would feel better. Grumbling also implies that we blame or judge God or others instead of looking into our heart to say just really what is bothering us. And grumbling keeps us from welcoming the plans and the purposes of God into our life. At this point, when the Israelites were grumbling, they have forgotten we are free people. I know we are wandering, but we are free. We have the presence of God, and that's not enough because we want meat. So we turn a deaf ear to God's voice, and we focus on the difficult situation, and we focus on creature comforts instead of on Jesus, on God. So the Bible tells us not to grumble, because grumbling is more dangerous than we think. So focusing on the desert situation and creature comforts, people grumbled, and the grumbling ultimately led them to forget and to lose focus of who God is, what he can do, his power, and what he wants to do, his plans. And simply put, grumbling is faithlessness in God. The Israelites didn't believe that God can deliver his plans. Hebrews chapter 3 warns us. It says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. That's Hebrews chapter 3. So sadly, the first generation of the Israelites, they wandered for 40 years in the desert, being tested and molded, but they were unmoldable. their necks were stiff. It's only good for cracking. And due to their unbelief, they did not make it to the promised land. God's trying to bring them. They're kicking and fighting. And they just won't. Grumbling is severely short-sighted, and it works against God. Now we see, what was God's response in the Exodus passage? So to the grumbling for food and meat, in this instance, still early in the journey, God provided bread from heaven and quail for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." God provided the manna and the quail, not so that the people may eat and be satisfied, although they were. God said so that they may know that the Lord is God. The people needed to know. It's critically important for them to know, just as it is for us to know, that the Lord is God. We need the assurance for the journey in the desert and the many, many other journeys that we are going to take. And we need to know that God alone is sufficient. He is sufficient. Now, the antidote. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, says Luke chapter 6, verse 45. What's grumbling? Grumbling is the cough of a sick heart that has forgotten God's faithfulness and promises. So, the antidote to that really is to recall and to remember God. Do everything we can to remember God's faithfulness and His promises. Our reading from Psalms show us that today. It says, "Give praise to the Lord, proclaim His name, make known what He has done, sing to Him, sing praise to Him, tell of all His wonderful acts, glory His name, worship His name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord seek Him, rejoice, look to the Lord and His strength, seek His face always, remember the wonders He has done." Action words, action words, action words. The Bible is a collection of God's promises and wonders. I said already, it revives our soul and it adds gladness to our heart. Action. Turn the page. If you have forgotten, read it. If you cannot see, magnify it. I don't know. Do something about it. Get somebody to read it to you. Memorize it. Write it down. Stick it up. So many things. What I do, because I have the condition of grumbling, I do, in times of difficulty, turn to the Word of God and I write it in a little notebook with my left hand. I'm a right-hander, but I choose my left hand. Why? Because the right hand writes too fast. The left hand slows it down, and I can savor the words of God as I curly-whirly around it. It works for me. And then I look at it, and I say, "Oh, that was tough." But I take gladness in the word of God to remind myself, "Dara, stop grumbling." Now, today, choose to remember God's promises and faithfulness. Fill our hearts with gladness. And then out of the abundance of a thankful heart, we give glory to God. Remember the wonders He has done. Know that the Lord is God and He is sufficient. Now, in this world, there'll be various troubles, all right? Trivial ones to traumatic ones. And we need to talk about it. And our God is full of mercy and compassion. He's not saying, "Shut it." There are so many laments in the Bible. God invites you to talk to Him, your honest expression of your suffering. And it says in Psalms 142, "With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before Him. I tell my trouble before Him. Do so without blaming Him. do so without blaming others. Tell him, oh, this is tough. I'm suffering. I don't blame you. I want to see your goodness. And there are these collection of psalms that show us how to bring our troubles to God and still hang on to his promises and faithfulness. The Exodus story is also our story. We see ourselves in it. Exodus shows us who God is, what he can do, and what he will do. Many of us would have come through the waters of baptism, just like the Israelites. Going through the water is only the beginning of the faith journey, only the beginning. Now we are walking through the desert as God's redeemed people. The journey can be long and hard, and many battles along the way. Even towards the promised land, the Israelites had to fight the people then there was who were occupying, enemies of God who were occupying the land. It's to be fought for. Now, in this desert time, there will also be successes and victories and celebrations, so that we know that the Lord is God and we worship him. Our destination is the promised land. In God's unfailing love, by his own hand, he will lead his redeemed people and deliver us to the promised land. These are not my words. It's from the Bible. It's his promise to each of us. As we walk this journey, we walk in faith. Temptations abound. Stay on track. Remember his promises. Remember his faithfulness, so that we may know that the Lord is God and he alone is sufficient. Amen.